I'm Eddie, if you don't know me. I was asked to talk about our love to God. I think last week, I wasn't here, but I heard you guys spoke about or listened to a word about how God's love for us, right? Is that right? Okay, so there's going to be a lot of overlap, but there'll be some new things. And next week, I think you'll continue the three-part series on love and showing our love to our brethren. They cannot be spoken about individually. We can't speak about God's love for us, our love for God, our love for our brethren individually, completely separated. They really have to be spoken. I guess that's why they're spoken back to back to back. But you hear a lot of overlap between these three lessons, okay?
Does anyone have an extra card?
I have a presentation. I will send it to the group, or you'll just send it to you, and then... So you guys can have a presentation after. So I will try to hint to you when you should be paying attention because of the quiz on it. If you don't get my hint, that means you're sleeping. You really are sleeping if you don't get my hint. So we'll start. It's a short lesson today. And again, most of it straight from the Holy Bible. We're not going to... Actually, there's a little bit of interesting things we talk about at the end. But the practicality side... But most of it is going to come straight from the mouth of our Lord. Okay, so let's get to it. So the first slide. So first of all, motivation. Why love God? Why do we love God? We can make this slightly interactive if you want to. Yes.
Because
He loved us first. That's very good.
The answer from the Bible.
And that's very good. And that's right on. So we love Him because He loved us. That's kind of... It's kind of hard to digest at first because you think about human relationship and, you know, let's say before you get married, like, this person loves you, so I'm required to love them back. And it doesn't really fit that way, right? But human to human is not the same as God to man, creator to creation. Imagine a relationship where there is a creator responsible for the existence of this thing, this person, this life. It's a completely different relationship. So, next slide, we'll show you the verse. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. He created us. He designed us. He is responsible for our existence. He fashioned us. We sinned. He repaired us. Came down in the form of man, humbled himself, was spat upon, was beaten, was tortured, was killed for us, and resurrected for us. So all these things he did because he loves us, that we have no choice. I mean, it's not like it's even hard. And this is just it should be a natural feeling. You understand all of this. If you can comprehend all the things that he did for us because of his love for us, I mean, it's not even a discussion. We love him. Of course we love him. Because you would not even be here if his love for you did not exist. So it's not a, I love you, that means you got to love me back kind of thing. It's a completely different kind of relationship. Is there a question? I saw a hand. No? Okay. Next. So you know that in the New Testament is written in Greek. The word for love is not just a single word. The word for love in English is an overloaded word. When I say overloaded, I mean it means many things. And so, in C.S. Lewis, he actually has a book called The Four Types of Love. He mentions these four kinds of love, wink, wink, four kinds of love. And they're basically all Greek words. And if you read the Holy Bible, if you read the New Testament, and you read the word love, you kind of don't even know which word we're talking about. So it's good to go reference and see in the Greek which word is being used when we're referring to love, because it completely changes the meaning of some verses when you think about it. And so the first type of love that C.S. Lewis refers to is this love called storge. Storge, which means the familial love. I love my brother, my brother, my blood brother, storge. You know, cousin loves an uncle, storge. It's kind of like, it loves them because of their family. Right, so you don't have to like them. You just have to love them because they're family. You invite them to over for Easter, but you may not hang out with them, kind of thing. It's a love that, you know, you'll do anything for them, kind of love. Storge. And then philia. Sometimes you're Philia. You have a question?
No, just
okay. Ready to answer questions. That's right. Philia, the brotherly love. So you heard about, you know, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That's where that comes from. It's a love between companions, between two, you know, good guy friends, between two good girlfriends. It's, you know, you'll do anything for that person. You want to be around that person. It's a great kind of love. It's an affection. It's a sentimental kind of love. It's feeling. It makes, you know, you feel good around this person. Can't say that about all of our uncles, right? But you can say that about your best friends. So that's philia. And then there's eros, which we know about. Eros, the romantic love. So the love you have, one of the loves you'll have for your spouse, God willing. And then finally, the agape love, which you've probably heard the word many times, but this is the sacrificial love, or the selfless love, okay? And this is the love that you'll hear most about when we talk about God's love for us, the sacrificial love. However, sometimes in the epistles and the gospels, we use this word when they refer to God's love for us, which is interesting, right? We know God's sacrificial love for us. Clearly, he sacrificed himself for us. But actually, sometimes even this word is used for God's love for us, which is an affectionate love. A love that he has an affection for us. He has feelings for us. So it's nice to know the difference of these between these words when we're reading these verses. Okay? So know these four. Storge, philia, eros, agape. Okay, next. So now it goes through the different things we can do to love God. Number one, and probably the most important, obedience. And the reason why it's most important is because I think it's probably mentioned the most number of times as what we can do to love God. What our Lord himself tells us that we have to obey in order to love God. So we'll go through some verses. One of the most famous ones. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Very straightforward. There's no conditions. Actually, there is a condition, a single condition. To love me, keep my commandments. Obey me. Again, kind of weird if I went to one of you and said, if you really love me, you're going to listen to me. Maybe if I was your dad, but if I'm your friend, it's not something you would put a condition on. Right? For your friend, you would not tell them, if you love me, you'd keep my commandments. But this is a different kind of relationship. We have a creator creation relationship, father and children relationship. And so just like I love my children, and anyone who has children know that we don't just create rules for convenience, although sometimes they're convenient, right? So you must go to bed by 9 o'clock because I just need time to myself, right? You must eat your peas because you want them to be healthy. You must cheer for the 49ers because it's going to be a rough house if you don't. But no, other things are like, before you cross the street, you got to look both ways. That's a rule. If you don't talk to strangers, that's a rule. It's for your safety. It's for your protection. So, keeping his commandments, as you see in the next slide. Okay, well, it'll be in the next one, but let's read this one. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So, again, he's saying the same thing. He keeps my commandments is that person who loves me. Not only that, but he who loves me will now be loved by my Father, and I will show myself to him. I will love him, and I will make manifest to him. And the opposite is true. If you don't love him, he's not going to show himself to you. What a great feeling, though, to know that he will show himself to us. All we have to do is keep his commandments. Next slide. And this is what I was going to get to. This is also kind of hard to swallow, because he says, for this is the love of God, that if we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. He's saying, it's not hard, guys. Oh, listen to me, and by the way, not hard. Do you believe that? Do you believe that it's not hard to keep his commandments? I think it's very hard. But he's saying it's not hard, yes.
Yeah, we can make it hard, like we can put barriers between it. Like
we absolutely put barriers, and you have to understand what those barriers are to lift them, right? Some of the barriers include things like, give me an example of a barrier as to why this should be hard.
Like let's say, like, someone has laziness, and then they're like, I don't feel like praying. So you put your own barrier for your laziness.
So laziness, sloughness is definitely a barrier. Yeah. Any other barriers you guys can think of?
Friends.
Friends?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. So I would consider, like, you know, bad role models or bad company, definitely.
Parents.
Parents. Ooh, fighting words. Parents are a barrier, possibly. Yes, sometimes. You're supposed to honor your father and your mother, but first you love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and your strength. So yeah, it is the fourth commandment, not the first. So, but yes, your parents could be a barrier. So, if you remove those barriers, he's saying it is not burdensome. It's not hard to follow his commandments. What was that? Share. What's that?
She wants to remove her parents.
Okay, well, I'll go there. Next slide. So Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Again, same thing. This is mentioned several times. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So he's basically giving you both sides. You love me, keep my word. You don't love me. If you don't keep my word, you don't love me. And these are not my words, they're the words of the Father. So these are some of the barriers. Talked about convenience or laziness. Hypocrisy is another barrier. You say one thing and you do another thing. Pride, which is the root of all evil, as we know, is definitely a barrier. And bad role, I put this here because as servants prep, this is on you guys. If you guys are bad role models for the children or the people you are serving, you are going to make keeping the commandments burdensome for them. You are showing them that a servant is, it's appropriate to act a certain way, and you're not acting the correct way. And therefore, as a role model, it is your responsibility to serve in a way that makes it so that when they see what you are doing, they know that it is not burdensome to keep the commandments. When they see you doing the things that you shouldn't be doing, it's confusing. It's, well, wait a minute, they're a servant and they're doing this kind of activity. They said this kind of thing. Maybe it's right. Maybe I'll follow it. That's one way that's really bad. The other way is, wait a minute, this person's a hypocrite. They're doing one thing and they're saying another. So this is important because it's on us as servants and you as his future servant. Okay, next. Okay, so number two. So one, we had obedience. That's one way we show our love for God. Number two is making him a priority. Making him the priority. Making him the only priority, really. So what does this mean? Does that mean we give her 10%? You know, you make a $1,000 a month, give you $100, good to go. Wake up in the morning, say Our Father, I'm good for the rest of the day. Before I go to bed, say Our Father, I'm good. I did everything I'm supposed to do. What does making him a priority mean? Yes?
Putting like him before others, not like, so like before you're relaxing or something. So like if you're tired and like you can't even stand up, like putting him a priority would be like just going and praying even though you're tired.
Yes. That's one way. Let's get even harder now. What does it mean, make it a priority? Let's get it more extreme.
Like,
you want to see what our Lord said about making it a priority?
Sure.
Okay, next slide. Well, no, it will be the next one. Let's read this first. Then Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. He's saying this is the great commandment. To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, he says in another chapter, with all your strength as well, right? And our Lord sums up all the laws of Moses with these two commandments. This one and love your neighbor as yourself, which we'll get to and you'll speak to about next week as well. So next. So this is what I was referring to. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We'll stop right there for a second. So that, when you said, you know, make time for him, put him before other things, is that what you meant? Before your mom and dad? Before your future children? Before your future spouse? What he's saying here, what our Lord is saying here, is that the most precious thing that you have on the face of this earth, the most wonderful thing, God forbid, You have to put God before that person. He probably will not test you to do that. But he's saying, if you love your father or mother more than me, or if you love your son or your daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. Again, very hard words. Very hard words to understand. Maybe because most of you don't have children yet, but you do have parents. Maybe it's easy for you to not love your parents more than God. But this, I mean, especially when they're sleeping, like 9:03, and they're sleeping, it's when you love them the most, right? It's when you love her the most. She's sitting not making any noise. And like you regret all the bad things you said to them and all the screaming you did and all the yelling. You are so sorry and you love them the most. Right? Love God more than that. Love God more than that. And that's honestly one of the strongest human-to-human love I think that someone can have is one for their child or for their spouse. And he's saying if you love that love is stronger than your love for him, you're not worthy of it. So, you know, some people misinterpret this. They think it's like you have to choose between your mom and your dad and God. You have to choose your children, between your children and God. I don't think God will ever test you in that way, where you have to choose one or the other. But he's just giving you the extreme. He's telling you anything you cherish in this world, it is nothing compared to your love to me. You have to put that below your love to me. Same thing here. So, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me, is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So anything you have in this life, he's saying lose it for his sake, and you're going to find life in him. Yes?
Like, he probably won't test us, but he'll test, a lot more religious people. Abraham?
Sure. That's a very good example, right? He asked Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac. And there was no reason to believe that Abraham actually had to sacrifice his son. The thing, in the end, he did not have to sacrifice him. The angel stopped him, but it's exactly right. Yeah. And we see Abraham's love for God, right? A friend of God. He was called a friend of God. I mean, to be put in that situation is unheard of, and I don't know if I could pass that test, right? Any questions so far? Okay, next. And we read this every liturgy after the Acts. Do not love the world or the things... No, after the Catholic Epistle. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So this is saying the same thing. Do not love the world or the things which are in the world. If you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. Very straightforward. You guys have any questions over there? No? Okay. Now, if you have any questions, let me know. Okay. Are you sure? Okay. Okay, slow me down if you need me to. I'm going slow because there's not many slides. Okay, next. Okay, so we talked about obedience. We said, make him a priority. What's that? Make him a priority. Third one, similar, give him your best. Give him your best. That doesn't mean giving your best effort. That's not what I'm talking about, like, give him the best shot. I'm saying the best thing you have, you give to him. Think about time as the one thing that you have. You have time, right? What's the best time you have in the world? I think Saturday mornings are the best time for me. Like, the whole week is so rough. School, whatever it is, work, come home, kids, get in bed by like 10:30, 11. And it's just like, and then Friday night, you know, we have a good time here at church. Saturday, that's the time. That's the best time for me. He's saying, give your best. He wants that time. Think of something else. Food. Well, we're practicing that right now, right? The best foods that we have, the best things that we enjoy all year round, give it up. And we will. We are going to give it up. And we should be giving it up right now. What else?
Technology.
Yeah. So your pleasures. The pleasures that you have in life. Whether it's going somewhere, your phone, watching a movie, or any of the things that...
Sleeping,
sure, good. He wants the best of those things. Remember in the Old Testament, the laws of Moses required these sacrifices to be without blemish. When they offered the dove or when they offered the lamb, there could not be a spot on it. And if you offered something that was defiled, it was rejected. Think about I mean, it's funny. I wish I would. I practiced this, but I think about, you know, even putting a dollar in the donation box, like giving a crumpled up dollar versus a nice crisp dollar. You get money from the bank. There's not even a crease in it. It's like perfectly flat and no wrinkles, no nothing. That's what he wants. He wants that perfect offering, the best thing that you have: time, your money, technology, sleep, whatever it is, your pleasures. He wants you to give it up for him, the best. And give it up first. Doesn't want you, if you, again, make that $1,000 a month, he doesn't want that $100 at the end of the month that you saved for him. He wants the first 100. The first 100. You make 1,000, you give him that first 10%, and then the rest you take to, that he gives you, he gives you that last 900 to take care of yourself. Give him that first one, the best one, and then you use the rest to take care of yourself. So give him your best. Maybe there's a few. I think there's a few quotes we have for Bernie. So he talks about even your body, right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So he's also talking about the temple that is our bodies, that it's given to him. We do not defile our bodies in any way. Now, what is he referring to specifically? Well, think about it. Tattoos, giving your body to somebody else before you get married, piercings that are not appropriate, whatever it is, your body is a living temple. It is holy, and it is given to him as a sacrifice, acceptable to God, yes.
Like, technically, is it bad to have the cross?
Technically?
Yeah.
Like, according to the dotting the I's and crossing the T's, technically? Is that what you want?
Is it wrong, or is it something?
It's a good question. I don't have one. I don't want one because I feel like it's something I don't want to stain my body in that way and have any sort of tattoos, even if it's the shape of the cross. I think there was reason to do it. When you're in Egypt, there's reason to do it. I think here, there's a little bit of a sometimes like, oh, I'm going to do it because, you know, it's my ancestry and that kind of thing. I'm not judging that, but if you're doing it for pride and you're doing it to show it off, that's one thing. When in Egypt, when they were doing it because there was a sense of sticking together in persecution, and even I think the reason for when they are burying the dead bodies, they wanted to make sure they buried the bodies who had the cross in a certain cemetery and not with the others. There was almost like, almost a necessity. Here, I don't know what the necessity is, but you could say those who want to keep the tradition going, okay. But if it's just to have the biggest and baddest cross on there, I've seen crosses that are like this big on your wrist, and it's like, what are you doing? That's just my opinion, though. You should really seek Abuna's advice before you get it. He said it's wrong?
Abuna doesn't have one.
He doesn't have one? My grandmother had one. So it's like, she was the sweetest lady I ever knew. So, I mean, it's hard to judge someone who has a cross on their wrist. And she even had, I think, the name of Jesus written in Arabic on her wrist. But, again, she lived in a different generation, in a different geography, a different sense of persecution, sense of freedom there. So it's... But the basketball around that's not right. Sorry if anyone has the basketball. And actually, it's a funny story because I remember I played baseball in college at the University of California in San Diego. And, you know, we're all guys in the dugout. And I remember one of the guys, I forget his name was Billy. And he took off his shirt, and this huge, on the back, he had this huge eagle with this American flag waving across his entire back. And I was a freshman at the time, he was a junior, I think. So I was, you know, I would watch what I say, right? I'm a freshman. And he says something, and I said something like, is that real? And I kind of laughed, because I'd never seen anything like this. It looked so ridiculous, I thought it was fake. He goes, yes, it is real. And I go, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And I kind of stepped back. But it's like, why would you do that? I mean, what are you doing to your body that you would permanently, stain your body with that kind of decor, so to speak. I know people who have spent $50 on a tattoo and have had to spend $1,500 to get it removed. They're not cheap to get removed. So if you think about getting one, I probably would advise against it, because it's not only painful, it's very expensive to get them removed. And it's talking about one like this big, you know? So several laser treatments, and yeah, it's not fun. Okay. Do them your best. Next one. Next step. Okay, so this is from Malachi. He's referring to some of the offerings that were made. We talked about the sacrifices. I'll just read through it. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? So the Lord is speaking to the priest now. Where is my honor? Son honors his father, a servant his master. I am the father. Where is my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you, priests, who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Well, you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, we're offering blind animals, for example, is it not evil? When you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. You're saying it's worthy of meat? Go give it to a human being, let alone worthy to them. Would you give, when you make dinner for your dad or for your brother or sister, would you throw sloppy stuff on the plate, or do you present it really nice and with garnishes? And if you're going to do that for a human being, what more should you present for your God? Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? He's being sarcastic, right? When he's... We do so much to please our fellow man, and we carefully, at Christmas time, spend hundreds of dollars on wrapping paper to wrap the thousands of dollars of presents that we buy. So nicely, put a nice bow on it under the tree, everything looks beautiful. What kind of gifts are we giving our Lord? What kind of offerings and sacrifices are we giving Him? Are we giving Him our best? Or are we just giving Him the leftovers? Or what's convenient? Okay, next. Next slide. Okay, so I won't speak too much about this because I know next week you're going to talk about the love for others in part three of your series of love. But he commands us to love others as a prerequisite for loving God. I say prerequisite. You guys have questions back there?
Sorry.
No. Okay. As a prerequisite. You guys are taking courses. You understand what a prerequisite is. You guys take this course before you take that course. Before you love God, you have to love your brothers. It's a requirement. So, next slide. So this is the second part of the Great Commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Next slide. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Imagine God calling someone a liar. Well, can we say about ourselves that we love everyone we've come into contact with, our brothers? If we don't, and we say that we love God, you are being called a liar by God himself. I'm with you in that one. I'm standing with you when he says that. I'm not condemning you. But that's what he's saying. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Okay? So imagine, I'll try to give an analogy. Imagine, you know, I say, I'm going to make you dinner. You say, okay. And I have two plates behind me, and I offer you this hamburger. You go, ugh, I don't like hamburgers. I go, okay, well, I've got something else behind my back. But yes, I'll take it. I love it. Whatever it is, I'll take it. I love it. How can you say that? You've seen this thing, and you tell me you hate it. So now that we know that you have the capability to hate inside of you. We have the capability to not love. You have some sort of reason to not love someone or love something else. You have that ability. So what's to say that you're going to love this? You haven't even seen this. You don't know what this is. How can you even say that you love this? Now, if you say you love everyone and there's no sense of hate in you and love is encompassing all of you and you, then we can say we love God because you love everyone else. So there's no proof that you have the ability to hate someone or not love someone. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah.
Sometimes, like, you don't hate them, but you sort of get hurt by them.
Getting annoyed doesn't mean that you don't love them. Okay, we talked about the storge love, you know, love for your uncle, your cousin. You don't have to hang out with them, but loving them means the things that, you know, you'll sacrifice for them. You'll be there for them. If they need you, you'll be there. But it doesn't necessarily mean you like their jokes.
Wait, so, like, you can't, like, dislike anyone?
Like, I didn't say dislike. You know, I didn't say dislike.
Yeah, so, like,
but I did say, if you hate your brother, and you say you love God, you are a liar. Well, just like there's many words that mean love, there's probably many words that mean like, so I'm not sure what you mean. When I say I like pizza, it's different than saying I like you, right?
Like, you don't like someone, but, like, you don't mind them. Okay.
Like, sometimes we feel like we love someone more than, like, a certain friend more than, like, another friend.
Remember, think of the word hate. The word hate in the Bible is a very strong word, okay? When he talks about hate, he likens it to murder in the New Testament. He likens the word hate to murder. When you hate someone, it's like murdering someone in your mind. So hate is a very strong word. So it's not like, dislike, get annoyed by them, don't want to be around them so much. It's a strong word. Okay? And then, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Must. If he loves God, you have to love. So he turns it around, but he's saying, if you love God, you must love your brother also. Yes?
I guess the question would be, what would you define loving your brother also?
Philia love.
Philia.
So, actually, I would take that back. I'm not sure if it's filial, because filial is more the sentimental feeling, really, like, sensitive feeling that you have for someone, right? The brotherly love. But loving your brother, it's probably either an agape love, which is a sacrificial love. So that's why I think that what he's using there is the agape love.
Would he want us to love our brothers the same way he loves us?
The same way he loves us?
Yeah, like selfless love?
Agape love is one of the kind of loves that God uses for us, yes. And so I think he's using the word agape here. So in other words, you will lay your life down for someone else. You don't have to be around them. You don't have to hang out with them. But you have to sacrifice yourself for them.
And then brother would define all of humanity.
Everyone. This is all of human. All of humanity. Questions? Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible to love others like God loves us.
Well, of course. Like we said, there's different relationships that one can have with someone else. I have a human-to-human relationship with you. God has a different relationship with to us that we have with other people. But there is a kind of love that is described by these words that we talked about, where I am selflessly loving you. I'm putting you first. Just like God put us first before him, I can put you first before me. It's not the same because there's different natures involved, but it is the same in that I'm not just saying I like to hang out with you, or I'll do you a favor and I'll lend you some money, because that's the kind of love, but it's not the sacrificial love that we're talking about. Okay, yes.
Can we say in the first epistle of John, this is God is love, and the Greek is using the agape love?
I don't know. It makes sense. Agape is the word that's used most of the time when God's love is described for us, but we'll see an example. He doesn't always use agape.
Okay,
next. I put this up because, you know, I'm not gonna test you on this, so you don't have to write it down, but the parable of the talents is an example of how we have to love others. God gave us talents. And the parable of the talents is one where someone received not as many talents as the next person, and so he buried it in the ground, and he just gave that talent back to the master when he returned. Whereas the other people had lots of talents, they invested it, they received more talents as a result, and gave it back to the master, you know, several fold on top of what they had been given. And he called him a slothful and wicked servant, the guy who only had one talent, buried it into the ground. What I'm saying to you is, use your talents wisely. Use your talents to benefit other people. I think God is asking us to use those talents, whatever it is, even if you have less talents than her, or you less than him, use those talents. Use the ones that you have. Invest them in other people. Because you're not using it for yourself. What's the point of investing in yourself, making yourself better? You're investing it in other people. Service. Use your talents wisely, whatever it is. If it's music, if it's speaking, if it's research, if it's education, if it's doing physical work, if it's sports. It's just being there, listening to people, and just being a shoulder for people to cry on or talk to. Those are all really good talents, and some feel like they're bigger and better than others, but whatever you have, don't bury it. Use it to help others. So that's why I put this here. You don't have to worry about these points. And if you don't use it, you're really respecting God's creation. God created this talent for you, and you're disrespecting it. So we use them wisely. Next slide. Okay, we're almost at the end. Telling others about him. So we had obedience. We had priority, making him a priority, giving him our best.
Loving others.
What's that?
Loving others.
Loving others, thank you. And telling others about him. Next slide. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So it's not really doesn't mention love here, but what he's saying is, if you don't confess him, he will not confess you. And if you deny him, he will deny you. So one way we can show our love for him is to confess him. Let's confess him before other people. Next slide. And finally, to show our love to him, we have to first love him. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so I'll use different words. To philia him, we have to first agape him. Okay? To have a close connection, a feeling, a sentimental attraction to God, we have to first sacrifice for him. Put him first. So you see, when I use the different words of love, it makes more sense now, right? To really have that philia love for him, we have to have the agape love first. That comes first. And we have to believe in him. We have to believe in what he's going to do for us. So next slide. So for the Father himself, philia you. He philia you because you have philia me and have believed that I have come forth from God. So he's actually got, now we're using a different word. We're not using agape love anymore. God, the Father, philia you because you philia him, our Lord. And believed that he came forth from God. Okay, so to really have that attraction with him, we have to first have that sacrificial, that selfless attitude towards him. You with me? Alright. Nearing the end. What else we have next? Okay, last slide. Did anyone hear Abuna John when he came and gave a lecture about the five love languages? You know? Yeah, a couple of you? Okay. So it might be a repeat for you, but This is a really nice book that was written by a doctor, an anthropologist. He's a Baptist minister, I believe. His name is Dr. Gary Chapman. He's basically preparing people for marriage. And what he's saying is, son, before you marry this girl, you have to know what her love language is. And daughter, before you marry this boy, you have to know what his love language is. And there's potentially five major love languages. And don't practice the one that you're good at. If you're really good at giving gifts, she doesn't care about receiving gifts. What's the point? Don't practice the one that you're good at. Find out what she really, 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 really likes and work on that one. Okay? So, this is something maybe a book you should read before you get married, but after you found the right person. It might be more than one of these. It might only be one. It might be all five, and then you're in trouble. You're going to do all of them. But, you know, words of affirmation. So it's like, you know, they want to hear, you're doing great. You're doing so awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. Oh, the dinner yesterday, they made yesterday was fantastic. Thank you so much. Thanks for picking up the kids today. It really saved me. I could stay at work late when I had to, you know, finish this project. Words of affirmation. Thank yous and pleases and so on, and really meaning it. Quality time, right? I just want to go out on a date. Have a date night. Spend a Saturday afternoon together without the kids, get the babysitter. Those kind of things, right? Receiving gifts, not just on Valentine's Day, Christmas, and anniversary, and birthday, and Mother's Day, and Father's Day. Not just on those days, but on Tuesday, you know, June 14th, when it's, you know, it's a normal day when I receive gifts. And that's something that some people really need, and that's how they feel appreciated, that's how they feel loved. Acts of service, doing something for someone, washing their car, filling gas in their car when they were taking a nap, those kind of things, right? And then physical touch, of course, hugs, kisses, and so forth, right? All of these that you can apply to your future spouse, or you apply to your spouse, can be applied to our Lord, can be applied to God. So let's think about it together. Words of affirmation. God demands praise and prayer towards Him, right? Everything we're doing every Saturday night and Sunday morning, the words of affirmation saying, "Oh God, the great and the eternal, who created man for incorruption." We're basically praising Him and giving Him words that He needs to hear from us in order to for Him to understand that we love Him. We need to give God words of affirmation. Quality time is the same thing, right? We talked about giving Him our best. We have to spend quality time with Him. So God requires all five, is what I'm saying. He's not just one of these. Your future spouse, if you get lucky, will only need, you know, this one, or only need this one. And then you'll be good. God needs all five. Receiving gifts, we have to give Him our best. Give Him our best and our first. The best and our first. Find the crispest dollar you have and make it the first dollar. Acts of service. This is very obvious, right? Doing His work, giving your time to other people and serving Him by helping your fellow brothers, your brethren. And then physical touch. Well, how can we touch God? That's interesting. Holy Communion. Very good. So the Eucharist is one way to literally, physically touch Him and literally make His body one with your body. Okay? Did you write these down? Did you write these down? Did you write them down? Okay. Next. Glory be to God forever. Any questions? Nothing? Can I ask you some questions?
Yes. Oh, God.
Can you tell me what storge love is? What storge love?
Faith love.
Faith love? Okay, yeah. How about filial love? Brotherly love. How about Eros love? Romantic. How about agape love? Okay, selfless love. Can anyone tell me two ways we can love, show our love to God? Two of the five or six ways that we talked about. Whoa, you're looking at your paper? You're going to have your papers next week?
Obedience to making a priority.
Making a priority? Anything else?
Following commandments.
Obedience, following commandments, same thing. Loving others, giving our best.
Confessing
His name, or telling others about Him, good. Believing in Him. Yeah? And, yes, okay, good. And then, and we talked about the five love languages.
Yes.
Acts of service, quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation, receiving gifts, having time to yourself. Having time to yourself? Is that one of them? No.
Okay.
Service, acts of service, we said that. Very good. Okay. Thank you, guys.